Hi, my name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Before you jump into this new podcast episode, I want to ask you a quick question first. Are you ready for more in 2024? More joy, more abundance, more self-love, more health and vitality, and more positive experiences? If this is you knowing you are destined for more and ready to take the bold step towards receiving all you are worthy of, I've created the perfect 8-week shadow work course just for you, starting January the 15th, 2024. This is not your surface level, run-of-the-mill shadow work class. This is an intensive deep dive into the shadow with me supporting, coaching, and guiding you the whole way in a group setting. Best of all, this is priced at only $188, with the option to pay $94 at the time of enrollment and the remaining $94 mid-February. For this amazing price, you will receive 8 shadow work classes based on weekly themes, 8 beautifully designed workbooks for you to work through during the week, 8 group coaching sessions, the support and love of a community setting within the Facebook Shadow Work course group, and live Q&As with me throughout the entire 8 weeks. Every person who participates will also receive a certificate of completion upon finishing this 8-week course, digging in and doing your work. When I say I went deep with this course, I mean I went deep. You will be exploring topics like how to prepare the body and mind for shadow work, how to create your unique shadow work blueprint, comparing core events to current unhelpful patterns, cycles, and habits. You'll learn how to alchemize heavy energy through self-acceptance and love, explore how your shadow affects your relationships, and so much more. For all the nitty-gritty details, look for the link below or visit my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So just my first and last name.com, and look for the coaching and service tab and you will find all the information there. I cannot wait to see you. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome to this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode. Today is a solo episode where I am actually going to be sharing something wildly vulnerable with you all and filling you in on a little secret that I've been keeping to myself all year. So, of course, those in my inner circle have been aware of what I'm going to share with you, but I haven't shared it publicly or on any of my platforms. And the reason is because I've been experimenting this last year and I like to really get crystal clear before I share or teach about anything. And I was in the middle of the experience and it didn't feel like it was the appropriate time for me to share. And I wanted to, as I said, get really crystal clear on the experience that I was having. So for those of you who don't know, last year I took a huge step back in 2023. And that was primarily because I was completely burned out. Between 2020 and 2022, my business really took off. Book deals were flowing in. I wrote 3 books within 6 months in 2022 upon my publisher's request. I had a full client list and I was absolutely burned out. I wasn't enjoying writing anymore, which was the biggest sign, because writing is something I've done my entire life. So I knew when there wasn't joy in that process any longer that it was time for me to take a step back. In addition to that, I was in a brand new relationship. So there was like everything that goes along with that. And I wanted to make sure that I devoted time and energy into creating a healthy foundation in my brand new relationship as well. So I moved across the country from Colorado to Florida. I traveled. I really just focused on fun, enjoyment, or really just relieving myself from any kind of work pressure. Now, I still saw some clients throughout the year, so I wasn't completely not working. And I was still posting my content like I do daily across my platforms, but I wasn't actively marketing for new clients. I wasn't launching new classes and programs. I was really just focusing on taking time for myself. And in all that, 2023 was a huge year of healing for me. But the really unique thing about the healing that I did in 2023 is that I was healing through joy. Now, we so often hear, and I've talked about this in other podcasts and in other areas of my work, but we always hear painful experiences are our greatest catalyst for big growth, for major up-leveling. And I'm not going to say that's not true. We learn so much from our challenges, from our traumas, from our difficulties. But I think it's far too often neglected that we also learn through joyful experiences. And I was fully leaned into this concept in 2023. So at this point, you're probably wondering, what is it? What is it that I'm going to share with you today? What is this podcast about? And I'm going to get into that right this second. So over the last year, I experimented with introducing a healthy relationship with alcohol. Now, anyone who's been following me or my story or who has read one of my 4 books that are out has heard or probably knows that I struggled for over 20 years in what I call rock bottom living, and that included drug and alcohol addiction. And I don't like to use the word alcoholic because I don't really believe people are alcoholics. I think we are traumatized individuals who self-sabotage. And I'm not going to say there's not a physical dependency, because of course there is a physical dependency on chemicals that we put into the body that the body gets used to. So that's a whole other topic when we're talking about physical dependency and addiction. But as far as the mental aspect of it goes, I'm a firm believer, as I think most trauma-informed specialists in this field are, that alcoholism and addiction all stems primarily from trauma. Now, this doesn't mean major, what they call big T trauma. This is anything that's made anyone feel traumatized. So we all have trauma, right? Now, not all of us become alcoholics, and that really has to do with how we process that trauma or don't process that trauma, the tools we have, the emotional and nervous system regulation that we have as we're processing. So there's a lot of factors that go into how each of us process or don't process our trauma. And I had completely sworn off of alcohol during my major healing phase that I went through many years ago. It was a slow progression. It wasn't that just one day I said, I'm not going to drink. It was more the steady climb towards healthier living, healing my own personal traumas, doing my inner work. And there not really being a space for that type of lifestyle any longer, me not desiring that type of lifestyle. And I had a severe issue. I drank from the moment I woke up till the moment I went to sleep. I made a lot of poor decisions during that time of my life in that state of mind. I lost many jobs due to my drinking, and on I can go. My life really was being destroyed by the self-sabotaging act of my addictions. I don't want to backtrack too much. There is a ton about my personal backstory in my books, especially Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. So there are plenty of places you can go if you are really curious about my personal story and the details of that. So I'm not going to get too much into that. But that is just kind of a history of my addiction for those of you who may not know. So you might be thinking, why would I ever try to reintroduce this into my life? Now, during the time when I was completely dry, I didn't have a drop of alcohol. I mean, maybe I tasted a drink here and there, but you know what I mean. I wasn't drinking at all. I really villainized alcohol a lot. And I came out and made some really bold statements in my work about the dangers of alcohol. And it's not to say that I still don't agree with those things. And I'm going to get into my views on this in this podcast as well, because I did actually ask this question a few weeks ago on my Facebook platform. I asked what people's opinions were on drinking and spirituality. And the responses I got were varied, but also some were very extreme. Of course, there were the people saying it should be avoided completely. They don't call it spirits for nothing. It is opening you up to demon possession. And then there were people who saw nothing wrong with it whatsoever, who loved it, and people that were middle of the road that said, in moderation, they don't see a problem with it. Now, there's no question that alcohol lowers our vibrational frequency and therefore can make it more difficult to feel the connection we have with our higher self, which is why when we're under the actual influence of alcohol, we make decisions and choices that aren't necessarily aligned with our integral belief system or values all the time. Hence that anxiety that we hear so much about, that feeling after you've drank too much the next morning and you're replaying your night and your text messages and your Facebook posts and realizing that you've said and done things that you maybe are embarrassed or ashamed about the next day. And so we know this is true, but I just want to point out that we live in a world, in a universe for that matter, where every single thing carries a vibrational frequency. And in this earth and physical plane that we're living in, there's a lot of things that carry a lower vibrational frequency, including us. We have to carry a lower vibrational frequency to be able to exist in this 3D world. Obviously, when we are our truest expression of self, our higher self in spirit form, we can't vibrate low enough to be in physical form. So just to be here on earth means we ourselves have to lower our vibrational frequency to exist and interact on this physical plane. So we live in a world of vibrational contrast here in this 3D reality. What this means is that there's a lot of things that have a low vibrational frequency. Eating sugar. Sugar carries a low vibrational frequency. Processed foods carry a low vibrational frequency. Watching horror movies, true crime, things about violence, what we mentally ingest through the content we take in, a lot of that content carries a lower vibrational frequency. So as we move through this world, we're constantly navigating these highs and lows of vibrational frequency. Now, the opposite of that looks like eating healthy organic greens and whole foods. Those foods carry a higher vibrational frequency. and ingesting these things will raise our vibrational frequency. Listening to an inspiring podcast or reading an inspiring book or listening to someone's inspiring story, that's high vibrational content that helps to raise our vibration. So we're always moving through the world, taking in and consuming in some way information or substances that are raising and lowering our vibrational frequency. And to believe that we're going to go through this very physical world living always high vibrationally is just kind of silly in the first place. So while alcohol does carry a lower vibrational frequency, I personally don't necessarily believe that's the sole reason we should avoid it. Now, do I think that spiritual teachers and quote unquote healers, because anyone who knows me knows I really can't stand the word healer. We are all healers of ourselves, but nobody heals another person. We may support and offer tools, but we are not the healers of others. I just will never get on board with that. And I can never get on board with that phrase because I just don't believe. I feel like it gives too much credit to self and not enough credit to the person who's actually doing the healing work and having to do all the heavy lifting in that. So I just can't get on board. But for no better word, you know, the quote unquote healers, spiritual leaders, spiritual teachers, do I believe that it should be an everyday part of our lives? Absolutely not. Do I believe that there's any place for alcohol in spiritual gatherings, sister circles? No, I 100% do not believe that alcohol has a place there, because the entire reason of coming into these containers and coming into these environments is to raise our vibrational frequency so that we can have a better understanding of our authentic self, aka our higher self. And if we're introducing these lower vibrational frequencies like alcohol, then that's going to interfere with that. But the same could be said for the type of food that you eat on a retreat, for example. You don't really see spiritual retreats where people are being fed processed, low vibrational foods. So the whole concept is coming into a high frequency environment to raise your own personal vibration. And I definitely don't believe that people who are standing in this role should ever be doing so under the influence of alcohol. And because alcohol takes, and this is something very fascinating that it was really eye-opening for me, one alcoholic drink takes the body 72 hours to process. So it doesn't necessarily mean drinking earlier in the day. When I say I don't believe anyone in this role should stand up under the influence of alcohol and try to teach, guide, or lead others, I mean with any alcohol present in the system, because that has already lowered their vibrational frequency. And that's a very big reason why I did not push over this last year to launch new programs, because I knew I wasn't ready to make that commitment. I knew that this was a year of focusing on myself and experimenting with this relationship with alcohol. I'm going to go into a little bit of what I learned with this experiment. So the first thing I'm going to address is the why. Why would I decide to do this? And again, I think it was partly out of curiosity, partly out of my desire to just have fun and relax and focus on myself this last year. And I did a ton of traveling and it was fun, you know. I wanted to go to the beach and sip on a piña colada. I wanted to enjoy a nice glass of red wine with my delicious steak dinner. It was always done socially. I was never just at home drinking by myself as I once did when I was in the thick of my wounding. So there wasn't really any other reason other than I wanted to. I wanted to see what it was like. I wanted to see what my drinking would look like after years and years and years of inner work and healing work. And I was curious. So I think I literally took my first drink. It's been a little bit more than a year, I think, at this point. I was trying to remember. I moved here yesterday, actually, January the 2nd, was my 1 year anniversary of being in Florida, but I believe I had started experimenting with this a few months before the new year, once I was getting into this new relationship and I was like really traveling a lot. So it has been a few months more than a year, but for the most part, it's been about a year. So that's basically the why. There's no really deep reason for it other than, to be quite honest, I just wanted to see what it would be like. And what I learned over this year and experimenting with this is that I 100% do not have a drinking problem. My previous drinking was 100% a result of my trauma, and the unhealthy way in which I drank was a result of my trauma. I only drink socially at appropriate times. And what I mean when I say I only drink appropriately, let me give you an example. When I was in the thick of my trauma and that 20-year period where I say I lived at that rock bottom level of living, there could be no alcohol in any home I was in, and because I would drink it until I finished it. If there was a bottle of vodka there, it would be done by the end of the night, and then I would start rummaging, is there any leftover wine? Are there any beers in the fridge? And basically had no discernment. It was just about consuming and numbing out as much as I possibly could. That's very different from the way it's looked this last year, obviously. We've kept alcohol in this house at all times. And I think we had a bottle of vodka we bought in October for our cruise. We had a bottle of vodka that we took. We didn't finish the bottle. And I think we barely finished that bottle a couple weeks ago, maybe. And I never woke up with the desire to just randomly start drinking first thing in the morning. I never drank when I was here at the house by myself. It was always like if we're at a concert, if we're on vacation, if we're out to a nice dinner, if we're at the beach. Now, I still acknowledge that those aren't reasons that we necessarily need to drink. Like, I can go and enjoy a nice dinner without a glass of wine. I can enjoy the beach. In fact, I do so immensely without needing a pina colada in hand. I guess it was just the whole enhancement of being present in the experience. But I spent 4 years not drinking alcohol and I still did all of these things. I loved to travel. I loved to go to concerts. I loved to spend time with people socializing. And I did all these things in the absence of alcohol. And in all honesty, now having experienced both, a lot of times the experiences are actually more enjoyable without the alcohol. This idea that alcohol makes things more fun is just a conditioned mindset, I believe, from societal messages around alcohol that, in my opinion, are quite unhealthy and toxic. Now, what I also found over this year is that my drinking wasn't always healthy either. There were times, and I'm going to be very honest, because I really don't encourage anyone who's had a drinking problem to do this experiment unless you've done extensive healing work. The only reason I felt safe and comfortable and trusted myself enough to do this experiment was because I have enough tools. I understand enough about my past trauma, my wounding, my past drinking, that I felt confident that if there was a problem, that I would recognize it pretty quickly and put an end to it. But with that being said, I want to be very transparent with you. Is that doesn't mean it was just this smooth ride this last year and that nothing showed up. Through drinking, a lot of shadow aspects showed up that I hadn't dealt with since I drank previously. Now, again, that comes down to that lowering vibrational frequency. And there were definitely times I drank more than I should have drank. There were times when I woke up hungover. There were times when I experienced shame because of my drinking. There were times when I battled mentally back and forth. Was it worth me even doing this? What was the point? How much time was I wasting trying to create this healthy relationship with alcohol and feeling like I could be spending that energy towards things that were much healthier? And I went back and forth often during this last year. Now, the way I drank, I will say, wouldn't be perceived as unhealthy by most people's standards. However, I find that most of those standards are incorrect. So I would say that there were times that I didn't always drink in a healthy way. And those are the times that I'm talking about. I maybe got too wrapped up in the moment, got too wrapped up in the socializing, got too wrapped up in the fun of it, and had a few too many to the point that it affected my decision making, my mood, the way I treated other people, and the way I felt the next day. I've definitely struggled with a lot of anxiety due to the chemical effects that alcohol has on the brain, because we know it heightens anxiety. And so I spent, in my opinion, a lot of wasted days dealing with the aftermath of drinking. And I wasn't drinking even once a week. So I just want to preface that. Like, sometimes there would be periods of times where we would be doing a lot in 1 month and I would drink a lot more. But there would also be periods of time when we wouldn't drink for a month. So it wasn't an everyday thing ever. I never was drinking every single day. And if it was even happening every weekend, I saw that as a red flag and would begin to moderate even more. So all in all, where I fall and my opinion on is it wrong, quote unquote, for spiritual people to drink? My answer is no, I don't believe it's wrong, but I think it's a lot of work to make sure that we're drinking for the right reasons and to be very vigilant on our drinking habits. How often are we drinking? Why are we drinking? And how much are we drinking? I think it is best to avoid it, but no, I don't think that having a glass of wine at dinner one night or having a couple drinks at a concert opens people up for demon possession or makes them incapable of doing great work in the personal development, self-help, and spiritual fields. I don't believe that. And I really try to avoid extremes in general. So I personally don't agree that drinking can open us up to demon possession. That's just me. I know a lot of people disagree, and that's perfectly fine, guys. No matter what we each believe, you know, it's fine. There's no right or wrong. And that's ultimately where I've landed on this. There's what's right for you and what's not right for you. And each of us are going to be individual in that. And we all have our unique experiences that are going to help dictate that. And we're all going to behave in a way that's going to be the deciding factor on, is this right for me or is this not right for me? And I think it has to do a lot with these things we've talked about. Getting to the why, how often are you abusing it? What's your behavior like? Is it affecting your relationships? How often are you thinking about drinking? Do you feel like you can go and watch a concert or go out to a dinner or hang out with friends without having a drink? Because if you're answering yes to a lot of these things, or you're noticing that you're thinking a lot about alcohol, or that you don't feel like you can have as much fun socializing without alcohol, or that you drink when you're stressed out and overdrink when you're stressed out, then those are all red flags, in my opinion, that need to be dealt with, because those are indicators of deeper root issues that are needing to be addressed that are being masked with the behavior of drinking. But I know plenty of spiritual people who drink healthily at appropriate times and appropriate amounts, who don't obsess over alcohol, who can easily go out with friends and not have any alcohol and have just as much fun. And I think it just depends, again, on each individual person. So as far as for me, what I've decided for myself is it was a fun year. And it was also a challenging year, probably made more challenging because of my drinking. That's kind of my personality, to put myself in challenging situations to really learn the lessons. And like I said at the beginning, to gain that clarity. And interestingly enough, this is very much a part of my human design and correct for me to do this as well. But at the end of the day, I don't feel that drinking is for me. And I've actually entered into 2024 and have chosen to abstain from alcohol for this year, and most likely permanently. Now, I never, oh, here I am. I'm contradicting myself in this one sentence. I was going to say, I never like to say never, but sometimes I do say never. So even then I contradicted myself, but I'm really weary of phrases like always and never. And I try to avoid, let me reword. I try to avoid statements like that. So I'm not going to say I'm never going to have another drink. I don't know. There might be some time in life when I decide to have a glass of champagne to toast some special occasion. There might be some trip I take where I decide I want to have a beverage local to that region because I want to experience that culture. I'm not going to sit here and say I will never drink again. What I will say is I have no intention whatsoever of drinking for 2024, and I'm not going to be drinking this year. And likely it will not be a regular part of my future after that either. Because what I learned ultimately is it doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve me personally. Even though I wasn't drinking in what we would consider an unhealthy way the majority of the time, it's not serving to me in any way, and especially not right now at my age and what I'm going through in life. I'm 44 and I am going through menopause early. In fact, I'm menopaused according to, I guess, what they say, you go 12 months without a menstrual cycle. I'm over a year without a menstrual cycle, so I'm fully in menopause and my hormones are a wreck. And one of the biggest contributors to hormone imbalance is alcohol consumption. It's absolutely terrible for hormone balance. It's absolutely terrible for gut health. And this year, there's certain things I'm focusing on where alcohol just doesn't fit into that picture. One of those things is my body and getting through this transition in a way that makes it as easy as possible on me. So I understand that introducing alcohol is not making it as easy as possible on me. And it's already difficult. Hot flashes, mood swings, weight gain, on and on I could go about the trials and tribulations I've experienced during menopause. So I want to give myself the best possible foundation for hormone balance so that I can feel as good as I possibly can through this transition. And there's also a heightened sense of anxiety just with menopause. And this is all due to hormone imbalance, okay? So then adding another factor in there that also increases anxiety, it's also just not healthy for my mental health with everything I'm going through. It clouds everything. And this is for anyone. Alcohol is very clouding. It makes it hard to see things clearly until it's completely free of your system mentally and energetically and physically. And I'm really focusing this year on my physical health as I'm getting older and I'm seeing my father, for example, who's 79, have severe health problems. He's had, I think, 2 heart surgeries. He's been close to death this last year. We thought we were going to lose him on 3 different occasions. He had a horrible bed sore at one point, and on I could go about his health issues and seeing his quality of life. Him not being able to really walk hardly. He's walking in a walker and just different things I've witnessed. It really was eye-opening for me and that, okay, like now is the time for me to really be focusing on my physical health so that I can extend my quality of life longer than 79, God willing, please. And so I'm really focused on my gut health right now specifically. And alcohol, as I mentioned, it wrecks the gut. So it doesn't have a place. Now, in addition to this, alcohol isn't my only focus. I'm also working on my sugar intake. I'm also working on being really mindful about the foods I eat. All the way around, I'm focusing on health, and alcohol is just one contributing factor that is a focus for me right now. So for me personally, it's not serving. And what I found is even in my relationships, it does not serve me. There has been unnecessary drama with coworkers. There has been unnecessary drama with my partner at times because we're both had a little bit too much to drink. For me, I don't want to continue to partake in something that I've witnessed over this last year creates drama in my life that then takes my energy away from the things that are really important to me. And the things that are really important to me are things like my work, my connection with spirit, and what I came here to do, my passion and purpose. And that is the other reason why going into 2024, I am choosing to abstain from alcohol. Because after this beautiful, wonderful, rejuvenating reset that I had last year and just taking time to focus on myself, I feel so motivated to get back to work, but this time with a bit different boundaries. Going through all this, I've also learned the importance of me taking regular breaks, and I've learned so much about my human design as a projector and how I best work. And so I'm going to definitely be adjusting the way that I work to make sure that I avoid that burnout I experienced. But I am motivated. I am excited. I have so many wonderful things planned, including my upcoming shadow work course that I am envisioning becoming an ongoing thing on some capacity. It's still building, so I'm not going to give a lot of details. My one-on-one coaching, and who knows what other opportunities are going to float my way this year. But I have a feeling that this is going to be a big growth year for my business, and I want to be clear for it. I want to be as clear as possible for those that I'm guiding, leading, teaching, and facilitating. And therefore, because of this focus on my work, there is no real place for alcohol in my life this year. So these are the reasons why I'm choosing to abstain. So where I land on this whole issue is, again, with moderation, I believe, and intention, and understanding ourselves well enough to know when there's a problem, and having that self-awareness to understand when, hey, maybe this is leading me to something deeper within myself, or no, I'm just enjoying this glass of wine with my partner on our anniversary, and that's perfectly fine and perfectly healthy. I'm not a big believer in extremes. I don't really believe in rigid thinking. I think every situation has so many shades of gray to it that when we get to black and white thinking, it becomes way too rigid and we miss a lot of the points and lessons that are provided in those gray areas. So I always challenge myself to witness the grays and not get stuck in this black and white thinking. And at one point with alcohol, I was stuck in that black and white thinking. So it's not to say that I always think this way. It's a choice that I make to not be rigid in my thinking, that I've trained my mind over many years of practice to think in a certain way. Because at one point I would have been someone that said, I don't believe alcohol is a place in society at all. And in all honesty, I still probably lean towards that because I think as a whole, society has such an unhealthy view of alcohol. When you look at how horrible it is for the brain, for the body, for the stomach, for our mental health, and how normalized it is in so many situations that so many of us are conditioned to believe that we can't enjoy our life in the absence of alcohol, then you know it's a societal problem as well. And I do think society's missed the mark on how much we have glorified alcohol. Glorified it to the point that people do it in front of their children, and on I could go about the glorification of alcohol. So I do think there's definitely like this toxic energy that surrounds alcohol. And I do believe that alcohol destroys a lot of lives. I cannot tell you, I have a friend of mine who died in his 30s from alcoholism. All his organs just shut down and he knew it was going to happen. He had been hospitalized several times and was told if he did not make drastic lifestyle changes and quit drinking, he would die, and continued to drink knowing this information until literally all of his organs shut down and he passed in his 30s. What a tragedy. What a shame. I always say getting off of meth was 10 times easier than it was for me to stop drinking, because meth is not so idolized in our society, because I could simply avoid people that did meth and I wasn't going to be confronted with it. But we don't have that luxury when it comes to alcohol. We're confronted with it everywhere we go and every event we partake in. It's there in our faces. So it's so hard to avoid. And so there is this toxic energy that I believe surrounds alcohol. And I think it's probably best physically, mentally, and spiritually to avoid it most of the time. But I also am not going to fall in this extreme of, but if you drink any alcohol, it's terrible, horrible, your vibration's lower, you're going to be demon possessed. That's just not how I feel. And it's been a wonderful experiment for me because my reasons for drinking now are wildly different than they were 5 years ago when my drinking slowly tapered off until I wasn't doing it at all. And then it became almost forbidden, which for me, anybody who knows me personally, the quickest way to wreck me mentally is to tell me I cannot have something. I can't, or I'm being told no. It's very hard for me mentally because I have this rebellious spirit that's like, if you tell me no about something, I am going to do it just to prove that I can. Now, I'm not saying that's the most emotionally mature way to go through life, but I'm just being very honest about who I am. And I see this in myself. And alcohol was forbidden, quote unquote, for many years for me because I was a quote unquote alcoholic, which I do not identify with that any longer. And so I was like, you can't have a drop, you can't touch it. If you get around it again, if you let it into your body again, then you are going to spiral back to where you were. And those were my deepest fears. Will I spiral completely backwards? Will I lose everything if I were to begin drinking, even in moderation? Because I had a lot of fearful thoughts around drinking that weren't true. Thoughts that said that if I have even one glass of wine, the universe is going to punish me and my manifestations won't come to me. Now, these are the things I've dealt with over the last year, and I no longer believe this. And that is the opportunity this year gave me in this experiment, is to really become the observer of what are my thoughts around alcohol. What are my thoughts around alcohol? And where are some of these beliefs holding me back? Because what I've learned and what I know is the universe doesn't punish us. We have the law of neutrality. We are the ones that place the label of good and bad on something, but everything is inherently just neutral. And these are things I've learned over this last year and come to really understand on a soul level. And like I said, this was a big growth year for me, and grappling with this was definitely a big part of that growth. So that is pretty much my drinking journey over the years to where I am now and to where I've landed at this point with it. But I was very thankful to find that no, when I introduced alcohol back into my life as a much more healed version of myself, equipped with a full toolbox, emotional awareness, mental awareness, and the true desire to learn from this experience, I did not revert back to the self-sabotaging ways that I once had. Again, according to society standards, people would probably look at me and feel like my drinking wasn't a problem and that it was in a normal range. But for me, I'm not comfortable with how some of those times looked. I'm not comfortable with ever waking up with a hangover. I'm not comfortable with ever having so much to drink that I say something that I regret the next day. And I think those are a lot of things that we've normalized as being just part of drinking. It just doesn't feel aligned. And so I'm going to also follow that truth that I've discovered for myself. Thank you guys so much for letting me share something quite personal with you, for taking the time. This is probably one of the longer podcast episodes that I've recorded. I just want to thank you for being here, for witnessing me. I hope that maybe parts of my story have inspired you in some way, whether that is alerting you to some possible red flags in your own drinking, or encouraging you or inspiring you to do deeper healing, whatever that looks like, I hope that something in my story inspired you in some way. And if not, thank you for just simply being here, witnessing me, and giving me this platform to share my authentic truth with you. I know there are so many options that you have when it comes to content, And I do not take for granted one second that you've chosen to spend almost an hour of your time with me. And I am so thankful and so honored. I love you all so much. And let me know. There's a little poll, a comment section. I would love to hear what your opinions are on this and what your experience is with this. There's no right or wrong. I just love to hear where you guys are at in your journey, what your thoughts are. Put that information down there so we can have a conversation about this. So again, I love you all so much. Have the best day. Hi. My name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am the host of the Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast show, which is named after my debut book, The Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love. My mission, passion, and purpose is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a trauma support specialist using my knowledge to support and guide my clients to healing, which I do through my one-on-one trauma recovery, mindset, and shadow work coaching programs. In addition to this, I'm a two-time best-selling author and spiritual mentor who has had the profound honor of working with people worldwide, helping them to live their best, most joyous, and fulfilling lives. You can learn more about my books, my programs, and my services by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. So without any further ado, let's jump into this Alchemy of the Phoenix podcast episode.